Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank Leisha for sending us this article. I sent it to all of you, except you, Pamela, because I wasn't sure what your email address was. It was an article from Susan Hunt.
In Table Talk.
In Table Talk. I printed it out, and I'm going to read it. And the scripture verses that I've given you today are from that article. Okay? If you have not had a chance to read it, you'll hear it now, but then you can go home and listen to it or read it again for yourself. Okay? Do you want me to move a little bit so you can see me over on that side?
Yeah.
Or they could close
it. Because we're in front of this. Can this move back? You want me to move it?
Yeah.
That might be easier.
Okay. I got it.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can slide back.
Coffee.
That's enough. Yeah, that's enough. Perfect.
Sue is
Thank
strong.
You, Sue.
Thank you, Sue.
Welcome. That's better.
And if So if you have your phones and you want to look at it, you can read along with me, but. This is an article that was in Table Talk magazine, which is published by Ligonier Ministries. R.C. Sproul was the
founder.
Yeah, I guess founder of all of that. Can you move back a little bit?
Back, darling.
Okay.
So it's under.
It's in the women's ministry. Spiritual mothering.
Okay.
The spiritual mothering. Okay. Now Susan Hunt is involved with women's ministry for many years, and she has written a book, one of which we have read, Spiritual Mothering, a few years ago. And she has a lot of contributions to women's ministry and mentoring women and being a spiritual mother. So, the article is called Becoming a Titus II Woman, and the Gospel Mandate in Titus 2, 3 to 5. Did I give that to somebody?
I've got Titus 2:4.
Okay, no, you'll all have it. But somebody has 3 to 5.
Oh, she just has 3.
I just did.
Okay, well then I'll read it. I did. Okay. Older women like, and this is from the ESV. You may have NASB. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, nor slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So that's our scripture mandate, and that is the mandate for our women's ministry here. So this gospel mandate captivated her heart and imagination 30 years ago. And she says, now at age 77, I still wonder if I have become a Titus II woman yet. My inclination is to answer by evaluating my performance. Invariably, this leads to despair or arrogance, depending on the numbers. Then the Spirit renews my mind as I read God's Word. He shows me markers to help me think biblically. In verse 1, Paul tells Titus, "But as for you," the imperative for older women to disciple younger women is given to the leaders of the church. So that's an elder responsibility that they oversee us to do this. This ministry is to take place in the context of church life and under the oversight of church leadership. So does somebody have Titus 2:1?
I do.
Okay.
But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine.
Okay, so the context of that verse is in chapter 1, he is talking to the church leaders and telling them the things that they should do. And then in chapter 2, he says, okay, now that I've said this to you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. So then there are some markers that she has identified that we can look at in our own lives to see how are we doing with these markers. So marker number one, is my heart joyfully submitted to the concept of ecclesiastical authority and to the practice of being subject for the Lord's sake to those who watch out for my soul? So that 1 Peter 2:13.
Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right.
Okay, so our action is to be subject for the Lord's sake. And then Hebrews 13:17.
Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you.
Okay, so our leadership watches out for our souls, and we are accountable to them because they are accountable to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we have a scriptural mandate there to be obedient to our church leadership, our elders, our pastors.
I understand somebody, the one that you read something about emperors and government, I don't think they're looking out for our soul.
No, but who appointed them?
Hebrews,
we're
still supposed to be subject because God appointed them. As long as they're telling us
to. They are not looking out for our souls.
In Hebrews 13, the elders are looking out.
Yes, right. I understand that.
I think that's what he was saying.
And
authority. Being subject for the Lord's sake. That was the first one. The second part was watch out for our souls.
That's better.
Okay, and then Paul continues, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Titus 2, discipleship happens in the context of sound doctrine as women help women apply the doctrine to their relationships and life situations. So bringing that back to what Martha Peace is talking about, those three characteristics. We have doctrine, we have character, and we have ministry. So this is hearkening back to that. Although Martha Peace and Susan Hunt aren't writing together, they're looking to the scripture, and that's our authority. Mm-hmm. Okay, marker number two. Do I have a teachable spirit that feasts on solid food of God's word so that I grow up into salvation? Hebrews 5:14.
But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Okay, so there's training there so that we can digest and know the solid food of the word. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then 1 Peter 2:2.
As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby.
Okay, so we start out with the milk, and as we grow, we require more food, solid food. So as we grow spiritually, we are maybe lacking in understanding, but as you grow, your understanding grows, your wisdom grows, your knowledge grows. And you can feast then on the solid food of the word. Okay, and so let me read Titus 2:2-10. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. So this passage describes what she calls a vibrant covenant community, where one generation displays God's glory to the next. So we first have the elders, the older men. Then we have the older women who are teaching the younger women and their children. And then he talks to the young men. And then he talks to the slaves. So it's a whole community of people in this covenant of understanding of what God's purpose is for them. So it's where one generation displays God's glory to the next. The Westminster Confession of Faith gives a stunning description of this communion of the saints by explaining that those who are united to Jesus Christ, their head, are also united to one another in love. They have communion in each other's gifts and graces and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, so as to conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. So in our communion with each other, we bring our gifts to build each other up, whether it's a young person or an old person or a man to his slave. We are all working in community to have our mutual good inward and outward. Okay, marker number 3. Do I understand that my union with Christ unites me to his other adopted children? Do I love the covenant family where God has called me to share my gifts and graces with others? So Titus 2:3.
Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good.
Okay, so those are some of the virtues that have been listed out for us to share with younger women. That we're entrusted with their care. And that's kind of a powerful thought, that we're entrusted with the care of the younger women. And we want to be women who adorn the doctrine of God our Savior, as it says in verse 10, in that everything we do, we would adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. And as we do that, we're showing younger women what it looks like when the ordinary relationships and moments of life are alive with the beauty of the gospel. So every aspect of our lives should represent or display or show forth the beauty of God's grace in our lives so that we can share that with other women. Covenantal discipleship is neither merely academic nor merely relational. It's a beautiful blend of sharing the gospel and our lives with one another. So older, younger, children to parents, husbands to wives. Okay, marker number 4. Is my heart adorned with the imperishable beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which in God's sight is very precious? 1 Peter 3:4.
Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
Okay. So we talked in The Excellent Wife about having a gentle and quiet spirit, and we'll talk about that more in this study as well, but it is something that we need to be examples of, being a gentle and quiet spirit. And another section of that verse is so that the husband will become a believer. And that is kind of the focus of that verse, not only that we would be gentle and quiet with our believing husbands, but that our unbelieving husbands may see Christ through us and be drawn to Jesus Christ because of that. Titus 2:4.
That's me.
Okay.
That they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children.
Okay, so that's part of our mandate as Titus 2 women, that we would train the younger woman. And the verse gives us some examples of practical lessons that we can teach young women. And the training means to show or to demonstrate. So our lives have to demonstrate that too. So it's not that we have to get ourselves all perfect before we can minister to other people, because we're in this learning process as well. Okay, so that kind of takes a, takes an onion leaf off of us, right? Okay, Paul describes this kind of relationship in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 to 8. Did I give it?
That's me.
Okay.
But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us.
Okay. And the mother imagery that you see in that verse, Susan Hunt says, is very striking. Covenantal discipleship is neither merely academic nor merely relational. So it's teaching, but it's also living out the gospel. It's a beautiful blend of sharing the gospel and our lives with one another. Jesus used the mother imagery. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So Matthew 23:37.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her? How often I want to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about the mother hen and the little chicks she's covering, not only does the mother hen cover the chicks, but the chicks also know that they need to go to the mother hen to be covered under the mother's wing. So it's kind of a
reciprocal
relationship there. So it's something that we know that the Lord is going to cover us, but then we also need to run to the Lord.
Did you ever see that? I don't know if it was a true thing or not, where they talked about some type of bird. I think it might have been an eagle. And it was, there was a forest fire. And when they went in after the fire, they found the mother eagle. She didn't survive, but underneath her wings were living baby birds. And she protected them. Like I said, I don't know whether it was a true story or not, but I just remember reading it and thinking, you know, that's, she gave her life for for the babies.
Yeah,
it's very natural that God put that into
instinctive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just evolution, though. Don't worry.
No, the Lord knows, doesn't He? It's really kind of a neat thing. Okay, marker number 5, and these are questions you can go back and look at the article and ask yourself. Am I a gatherer? Do I gather women into my heart and home and tell them about the Savior who gathers us under the protection of His wings? Do I pray for the Holy Spirit to change my selfish heart into a welcoming, nurturing heart that shares the gospel in my life with other women? Paul tells us why we should make such a costly investment in others. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. We are waiting for our blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have that verse, which is pretty much what she said. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. We have to be trained to do that. I do. And to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, while we are waiting for our blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus first appeared in grace, and He will appear again in glory. And between these epiphanies, we are to make disciples. Mm-hmm. So that's a question you could ask yourself. Am I a gatherer? Do I invite women to my house to get to know them? So
it sounds like Myrna.
Yes.
She keeps gathering.
Yeah.
And
Mm-hmm. And Bobby too.
Example for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Too.
And you know, yes, maybe we can ask a woman if we can come over and help her with her laundry, but you know, we can have them come over and maybe have a day of respite, and have a cup of tea or something. So, okay. Marker number 6. Am I motivated by gratitude for salvation? Paul assures us that it is the gospel, not our effectiveness, which saves and sanctifies God's people. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Did I give that verse to somebody?
Yeah, Titus 2:14?
Yeah.
Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works.
I like that part, zealous for good works, because we're not always zealous. We have to train ourselves for that. Okay, and marker number 7. Do I rest in the power of the gospel to redeem and purify God's people? The magnificent mandate in Titus 2 is timeless. It transcends age and role. College women can nurture high school girls. Single women and women without children can be spiritual mothers. Whether Titus 2 relationships are formal or informal, the command is clear and the result is compelling, that the word of God may not be reviled, or in the NASB, dishonored. I don't know which word I like better, reviled or dishonored, but they both kind of mean the same thing. So becoming is a hopeful word. It's a transformational idea. I cannot do everything I could do 10 years ago, she says, but the markers God's word gives are not limited by age and circumstance. I am becoming what I behold. Beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 3:18?
That would be me.
Okay.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit.
Okay, so when you think about Moses having to cover his face, we don't have to do that. We are going to behold the glory with unveiled faces. So that's very encouraging. So I would challenge you to go home and read the article again, and challenge yourself to ask yourself, you know, where are these markers in my life? And this is a basis for our book. It's kind of something I'm glad that you share that with us, because it's practical, mm-hmm, and challenging, and we can use this as a basis for doing our lessons going forward.
Well, I think, wasn't she the author of the Spiritual Mothering book?
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She is.
So that was such a good book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she's done a lot of interesting things.
Isn't that the book we just got too, right? That I just...
Yes, there's a book that I recommended to Bobby, Aging with Grace. She wrote that book with another lady.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I just got that one. I had gotten it before you even talked about it. I haven't read it yet.
Aging with Grace. I just did a study with three other women in the scripture church together. Aging with Grace.
Oh,
that's really good.
Okay.
It's about a big book.
Yeah. So maybe that's thought for future books to study.
So I'm in this really small Facebook group from my last church, Reformed Presbyterian. Just a few women that I had relationship with, and this was the first article they posted, but part of it is because we know each other, can we keep each other accountable? So we have to say, you know, what marker are we struggling with right now? Uh-huh. Or where have we seen our... I know. But we had to pick one and why. So... And, you know, and to the thought, just to be really honest, like to have that, you know, friendship, and I know locally too, but these are just people I know, and I've built a friendship with, you know, just to be able to sit with someone and be really honest, you know, and that's what helps us
kind of move forward in our faith and our strength and how we model.
It's pretty cool because it's accountability, but it's not right in your face.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. It still is because we can do these.
You can still
Zooms. Yeah, we do Zooms. So, but it's just, you know, I think that's good. And I think getting to know people, you know, we're developing the relationships. You guys have developed more because you've been here for so long, but
it's yeah, good. I think that accountability is what's going to make you grow. We're going to be...
I think so, too.
Yeah. You are making yourself vulnerable to somebody else for your behavior or your thoughts or your readings, your scripture memory.
Where you're struggling.
Yeah.
And how it implies with how you're walking with the Lord. It's like, wow. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, it is good. So I would encourage you to look at those markers in your own life. And maybe we should, down the road, think about, okay, let's do a marker check.
You know, it's going through them, I was thinking also, and I can't think of anyone right now, but if I was still married, I would ask my husband those markers. What do you see in me? Because sometimes we don't see either the good or the bad in us.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you're saying that because one of the questions in there was the character. Mm-hmm. And I was going to answer it. And of course, it's always hard for you to see yourself.
Uh-huh.
So this morning I went over that. I left that question there. And this morning I sat down with Peter and I said, Pete, what characteristics do you think that I should be starting to be more mature in? He looked at me like, is that
are you serious?
Is that a trick question, you know, putting my coffee together? And I said, no. If anything I have learned through the years is to be, I'm giving you like permission. I'm okay with it. Whatever you have to say, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. And if anybody I have to turn to, you know me best. So we sat down, we've been a good half hour, then all of a sudden he goes, and there's another one.
Stop.
It was so funny. I'm going, oh, I think I opened a can of worms. But he was very gracious in helping me, you know, point out, and actually things that I did know, but like I said, you don't see it in yourself so much or be able to kind of put it in words. Mm-hmm. And then the words that he mentioned, I agreed with him. And I was able to even search further in my heart. So this is something that I'm going to walk away today to, as we go on with this here, is to think about those characteristics. And maybe I should continue opening the can of worms.
Well, I think that's good. I think that is a way for us to show respect to our husbands, mm-hmm. that we respect their opinion, how they observe us, and that's one of those other mandates. Mm-hmm. Wives respect your husband.
It opened a conversation.
Yes.
You know? He was not listing anything. Mm-hmm. We just talked about two things and whatever. Of course, he went on to that third one.
Another day.
It's another day. But it did open a conversation, and I want to go back to it.
Yes.
I was going to say, last Sunday, Pastor Eric was talking about, he ended his teaching with a couple questions, and it was just talking about sin. And I wrote the questions down because I thought, oh, what a good way to just examine yourself. And it was, if you get a chance, go back and listen. But it was like, what's my normal sinful tendency? When does the temptation come, and when does it come out? What are the lies I believe about God, the world, what I need? Is God faithful? How do I rationalize or justify the sin? For example, oh, just one more time, or I'm under pressure, or I have to do it. And what's the truth from Scripture about that sin? Identify passages to memorize to be equipped. And then what will genuine repentance look like versus worldly sorrow? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I took notes because I'm like, I need to take this back and examine myself and, you know, go through these things. And so anyway, if you get a chance, you can, it's recorded, go back and listen.
Yeah.
And just for me personally, it's so easy for me to be lazy and say, oh, I'll do that later.
Yeah. Well, this is the first time I looked at those notes, and that's from last Sunday, so there you go.
took the notes diligently. The application has to happen.
Yeah, and you know, that's what we're here for, to encourage each other to keep on. We want to have the solid food and the meat of the word, not just be washed over in the milk, you know. Okay, let's take a quick look at the book. And does anybody have anything that really impacted them that you want to mention or talk about? Yes.
Especially going through this chapter, it made me think of how I changed in the last 10, 15 years. Because I think back on my friend from California, whom I went to Italy with, I kept saying, she's changed, she's changed. She was never like that. But I think it's a lot of me change. I've changed. That kind of helped open my eyes to that, and how much I've changed since I've come back and started with this church.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's a good observation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't want to do those self-assessments. I don't want to do those.
I like how transparent she is when she writes. And also the part about doctrine. And, you know, she was so enthused about teaching, but it's like, well, you got to get your doctrine solid first before you can, you know, help anyone else. So.
Okay, so what is doctrine?
Well, it's what we basically believe about our, the core things that we believe about our faith and about God's Word.
Mm-hmm. So we need to know what the doctrine is before we can be able to share with other people. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the doctrines that we have and that we hold to?
Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Doctrine of faith.
Trinity.
Yeah. Virgin birth.
Uh-huh.
Doctrine of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. Doctrine of repentance.
The Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Repentance.
Repentance. Role of women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doctrine of end times.
End times. Yeah. Sure.
End times.
Yeah.
End times.
Okay, so let me just ask, I'm going to be jumping back and forth between our questions that I sent out last week. So what doctrinal principle did you learn or put into practice this week?
I just answered this question. I just have been learning, just strengthening my knowledge of theology and doctrine, because doctrine is truth, so studying the Bible more. I didn't have anything specific, and Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. So I've just been real focused on learning the truth and how that plays out with theology and doctrine. Because we have to be able to speak it when we, just in everyday life with people, because why do you believe? If I don't know doctrine, because I'm kind of living in a neighborhood where there's a lot going on, then I can't stand. I can share the gospel, but I also have to be able to stand and be able to explain why I believe it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And live it out.
And live it out.
And yes. The reason for the hope that you have.
Yes.
That's right. I was focusing a little bit on the doctrine of salvation, and the reason for that is because for many, many years I've been praying that God would teach me to be bold and to know how to present the gospel and so on and so forth and whatever. And that's all I've been doing, is actually praying, but not going towards it, you know. And when I read the author here, Martha, where she talked about how she couldn't teach or anything because she didn't know a doctor, I go, oh my goodness, that's me. You know, of course I'm not going to teach, but anyway, I realized that I'm very immature when it comes to knowing doctrine. And when you mentioned about us having to, we have to be modeling and everything, I realized that oh my goodness, the Lord has answered my prayer. He's put me into this class where I have to really now be more faithful and now say, okay, you know, God is not going to answer my prayer if I'm not going to do anything about it, you know, so I need to do it. So I concentrated on the doctrine of salvation and I prayed how I can officially pray, present it to others along with scripture, mm-hmm. since I can't, I have very, very, very bad at memorization. And I get, I think it's so cool how somebody can present this, the gospel and poof, they take it out of their pockets, you know, they're memorizing it, they know exactly. So I need to say is, okay, Lord, I'm not going to start talking down on myself. I'm going to say, I'm going to be learning it, whether it's something that I can just, even if I can't, have it ready, and so that I know, or how about becoming more familiar so that I can open the Bible and go directly to it, you know. Of course, I might have to carry a Bible around all the time, but
it's in your phone.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and I need to say that I feel like as if I'm confessing, you know, because we do a lot of reading in our Bibles, and we do a lot of listening, and a lot of wonderful things, and we quote these wonderful things on Facebook, and we do all these great things, and we do grow, but are we really growing? And I'm finding out that I'm really not growing. I just read it, it looks nice, I know it, I believe it, but am I truly growing and knowing what, you know, I says, am I going to take 18 months like it took her to, you know, just to learn the basic doctrines? We're not talking about big doctrine ones. We're talking about just simply the basic ones mm-hmm. that I don't even know. I might talk good, but I don't know, you know, and that bothered me. But God had given me this answer to prayer to this group, and you're not going to believe what just happened. My daughters, they were raised in a Christian home and everything, and they converted into Catholicism, for those of you who don't know. So Melinda, who is my bright one, you know, whatever, at one time she would challenge me, but it was like a challenge, and it's like, eh, you know. And of course, Myrna doesn't know anything. Myrna cannot explain things off to her. But she gave me a call 2 days ago, and she said, Mom, she asked me a couple of questions about, you know, the church, my faith, what do our church believe and everything, and I realized that I couldn't answer her correctly, but I said to her, I said, you know, Melinda, this is very, very interesting. You know, God had just given her that grace of peace because of the way she talked to me. That's very interesting, Melinda. You know, I can't answer you correctly. I've been able to do this and, you know, answer some, but I am teaching myself that I need to know more of our doctrine and this. And I says, how about you have a conversation with one of our pastors at church. I will be part of the conversation along with Dad, and let's talk about this going back and forth. Yeah, Mom, that sounds like a great idea.
Wow.
You know? That sounds like a great idea. And I know her intentions. Her intentions is not, oh, gee, you know, I want to know what they don't know. Her intentions is, let me challenge them. Let me find out what it is. So I'll bring the challenge, girl, you know?
Yeah.
Don't bring it to me because I can't, you know. But I'm going to talk to possibly maybe Eric, and maybe we can sit down. I don't know. I'm thinking of Eric, you know. Mark is very busy. You know, not that Eric is not busy, but, you know, come to my home and on the phone and go back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just needed to share that with you, that I don't know how many of you feel like we need to, mm-hmm. we're inadequate, you know, as far as knowing what the doctrines are and how to present it to other people.
Mm-hmm. We are inadequate. It's the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to get to the point where, oh, you know, I'm just so puffed up, and I can lead all these people to the Lord and all that stuff. Because, I mean, I came out of churches that did that. Uh-huh. It made it like it was you doing it. You like, notches on your belt.
Yeah, they kept track of how many they saved. Yeah.
You know, how many 13 hands were raised in this. Right. It's not to do with that, because it takes away from God, and He doesn't share His glory with anybody or anything. And the Holy Spirit, the Word's alive. There's power in it. It's not just another book. And once it's in you, because I'm amazed at that. You know, you talk about carrying the Bible around or whatever. The Lord makes it abundantly clear that it's never me. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm so foolish. He takes the weak things
Okay? So, but I find when I was first saved, I did saturate myself in the Word. I mean, I even read kids' illustrated picture Bibles just to get. And He will bring those words back to me. You know, when I go to, if somebody asks me something, or I am, first of all, He has sometimes hit me over the head. This is an opportunity to witness. You know, sometimes yeah. You're not even thinking that it is, and it's like, whoa, I'm in the moment here. And then those words come to you. And I have to say, that's not from me.
Yeah.
I did a video thinking it was February and would talk about me in February. He makes it abundantly clear that He can use the weak things. Because I, you know.
So, Bobby, I have a verse for you that backs up what you're saying. In 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves.
Amen.
But our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, because the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. So we're not adequate in ourselves,
right.
But we're adequate in God.
Yeah.
So it is exactly what you're saying is what that verse says.
I agree with both of you, but I think to Myrna's point, we still have to be equipped. We still have to do
that's
still
have to
work. Study. I mean, you can't read, not read the Bible and then
just put it right in there, okay? Come on. Yeah.
But I think what's neat about what both of them said is with Myrna, it is definitely you want to get that knowledge, but it's also the adequate. But I think of James 1:22. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that's key, that balance.
I was just going to say that why studying doctrine, just, you know, trying to learn, is because I was reading something that said a lot of times we're the first gospel that people see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so our behavior and demonstrating, like you said earlier, is so important. And, you know, just testimony and how God works, that a lot of my neighborhood, new people moving in, they're not saved. And so when I go to these events like I did last night to meet the lifestyle director, I'm like praying because we have people that know that I'm faithful, just they peek on my Facebook page and then they stay away from me. But but they're the first ones that, and you know, yesterday two women who are married needed help. And who did they come to, even though they're friends with everyone? Me. Mm-hmm. And so I need to show the gospel to them in demonstrating my love, not for their behavior, but for, and then show the gospel, and then I will share the gospel with them. They're living next door to me temporarily right now, so they hear the music, you know, the psalm music and all that stuff, so, and I greet them, but I just think God uses, if we're faithful and obedient, it's just such a blessing to how He mm-hmm. uses. And so to me, the doctrine piece, both of them, it's so important to like study it.
You know? Well, I just wanted to point out on our website and even out on that info rack, if you want to start, we have a doctrinal statement for our church.
Yeah.
That I know anyone that became a member had read that, but you know, how easy, okay, I read it, you know, it's on the shelf.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt to review it.
Right.
This is what our church believes, and there's your doctrine right there.
And all the verses. All that substantiate that are there as well.
That's good.
Well, the salvation part component also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I found it helpful, which I want to go back to, the back part of the, which is the last book, help me here, my mind, the one that we just did?
It's in this book too.
It is?
Yes.
There is. Sweetheart, see, we have to investigate books. But anyway, it's interesting how it's behind these books, and I'm going, maybe I should start there, you know?
It's funny how some people will go to a church and have no idea what the church believes,
exactly.
What the doctrine is. And on Facebook, so many times there are people posting, I'm looking for a vibrant church. And you get 50 different denominations, you know? And I'll always put, go on a website and read their doctrinal statement and what they believe before you even go to a church, because
and if it's not there,
universal
vegetarian.
But they're not looking for doctrine. They're looking for fun music.
Affirmation.
They're looking for affirmation.
You know, for that, and it's like, you got to know what your kids are being taught.
Second Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen containers, so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves.
Yeah. And we're also...
I was going to say in 1 Peter 3, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And that's where, you know, the equipping part. But to your point, if it's in there, then the Holy Spirit brings it out. When,
yes. You well, many know. Times we're in the, into that apologetics kind of, you know, how am I going to explain things? And, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be at the point where if somebody's asking me a question, that I can answer it, you know? I mean, I don't need to be a scholar or anything, but enough for me to know that, and you're right, in the process of me doing it, whatever I can do, I mean, how many times do we all say, did I just say that?
Yeah.
You know, Holy Spirit just actually gets you going and everything like that, you know.
But you have to have it in you.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And in those moments, prayer first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's when he provides.
And 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God.
Yep.
The word of truth.
Yep.
Edie, for me, that was the verse that really hit me.
Yeah.
And God really convicted me because for years, probably 15, 20 years, I was teaching Sunday school in Cambodian churches. I think most ethnic churches, but definitely in the Cambodian church, it's a very low standard. If you're willing to do something, they'll have you do it,
right.
Yeah. Whether you're prepared or not. And I found, and I enjoyed the kids, and I loved the church. And so when I look back, I see that I was not taking it seriously. I was almost flippant about it, very lightly. I would... the night before thing, because we didn't have a program to follow. It wasn't like Generations of Grace or anything. I didn't find that till the last year. So it was just me deciding what to do. And I was not doing my best to present myself to one, to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. That I was really letting the kids down. I was letting the church down. Mm-hmm. And for many years, and I have no excuse.
Imagine to
Kathy's down to Kathy's point. Been asking you a finger.
Yeah, to imagine having a pastor that did that. Because in one of the churches I was in, I did his slides, like the overheads. He always had fill in the blank slides. He would come flying in like last minute, still writing them on Sunday morning. Yeah, I didn't quite finish the. You know,
where'd you go all weekend?
Yeah. So to Kathy's point, you really have to know. But I mean, you know, we learn to discern.
All right, so talking about doctrine, what about your character? We mentioned a little bit, some of you mentioned a little bit about character. How did the truths that you learned about doctrine help you become more God-centered, less man-centered, and confront your sin and idolatries? Or reveal a temporal mindset instead of an eternal mindset.
Well, it's easy for me because it's referring back to that, to my experience in the Cambodian church. And what I was doing was the minimum adequate for man, not what was required by God. So it was definitely man-centered and not God-centered.
Yeah, she has a theme also of humility when she's talking throughout about character, and that hit me, you know, about just being, again, God gives grace to the humble, and that we're supposed to have a gentle and quiet spirit, and patience, the fruit of the Spirit, the whole, it's like, let me count the ways I fall short.
Too, the more you learn the truth and submit to the truth and pray and read the Bible, it changes our character, because God changes our character when we, you know, submit to Him. And, you know, even like today, running late because there was an accident, and I couldn't get out of my coffee spot. I'm like, oh, then I'm like, oh, Lord, I am so sorry that this is agitating me. There was an accident. I can be late coming here. You are forgiving women. Right? Right? So, you know, it's just, it's kind of like this walking. If you anchor yourself in the truth, you walk your faith and you walk your wisdom and your repentance out, because you're open to His guidance.
And conviction.
And conviction, yes. Yeah. Forgive me, Lord.
I was just, no, I was saying that for me.
No, no, me too. Like, forgive me. You know,
yeah.
I got irritated for what?
Yeah. And I too find that sometimes fear of man is what guides me.
Yes, I was going to say that.
That I'm afraid of letting somebody down or looking poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, that part of my character comes out, you know, or getting angry that, why is this accident, you know, keeping me from doing my appointed task?
Yes.
Your spiritual task.
Taking on my Parkinson's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to mention this. One of the things that really helped me with the anger part and the agitation, I mean, car things like that happens. I was going through the book Changed Into His Image by Jim Bird. I don't know if any of you have ever read that book. But I realized through reading that book that whenever I get agitated, and this is going to step on a lot of toes, especially mine, but beware, that it boiled down to I wasn't getting my own way. So in your case, you wanted to be here on time. You didn't get your own way.
I didn't.
Water, coffee.
Yeah.
I got my coffee. I just couldn't get out.
But in my case, my children, when they were younger, and I had told my kids repeatedly, set your glass back so you don't spill it, and one knocked over their milk, and it had to roll towards me. You know. And I was mad because my own lay was I wanted to sit there and enjoy my lunch and not have to... Once you clean that up or help them clean it up, you know. And so when I took it into, I'm not getting my own way, when I'm driving and a person is in front of me and they're a real idiot, you've all been behind them, and I'm getting agitated because they're in my way and I want to be in that lane, and they, you know, and it boils down to my own way.
I love that. It's our way or His way.
Right. Yeah,
what are you going to choose, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
they didn't see the sign that it says Barbara's Road.
I mentioned this one other time in one of the ladies' things, that I really struggled with anger a lot of my life. And when I read that, and then it was just like everything that I was faced with, when I would start, I would say, I'm not getting my own way. Boy, does that really put things into perspective.
It does.
You know, and then you can ask God for forgiveness and ask Him how to help you through this. But, I mean, any little petty incident that you can name, it's because you're not getting your own way.
It helps a lot to recognize it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, on page 11, that's good. Which would help with that is the whole thing of put-offs and put-ons.
Yep.
That's how we change. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Ephesians 4, there's your example. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath in Ephesians 4:31. And then 32, put on, be patient and kind to one another, loving, just as God in Christ forgave us. There's a bunch of put-offs and put-ons. That's the powers in the scripture.
That help you with that.
And then you come up with a plan.
It's in the back of our book, too.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Can I just say?
187. Yes.
Yep, there is.
But the verse, take heed that you think you stand. Unless you think you stand. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to think if there's anything positive, if there's anything pure, lovely, and all that. So right off the bat, I thought, oh, man, she couldn't. I know you love your coffee. So, but in the God's kindness, He'd let you get your coffee first.
That's right.
So at least if you had weight, you had your coffee. That's something.
So I could sit and drink in the car with him.
Yeah. We'll slow you down. Maybe He saved you from an accident.
That's
down the road.
True.
Who knows? But I love my Edie, and it's not always a pleasant situation, but iron sharpens iron usually. That's usually what happens. But anyway, so I think I called her and asked her because I wasn't getting some of these. Sometimes they're like too wordy for me. Or maybe
that's
So on the second one, how to do these truths help you become more like God-centered or whatever. I had a little bit of a meltdown last week, and the whole big thing for me is God's sovereignty. Okay, sovereignty and the fact that you got behind, you know, that you didn't get out of there when you were supposed to and you came late, whatever. I have a light gray house, and it was getting green around the windowsills. And I try to be quiet, because I don't think I have a loving, quiet spirit or any of that. So then the Lord's kindness shows me that in the situations I have grown. Like, we went to a little neighborhood meeting last night, and some guy moved down from Massachusetts, and I wanted to say, did you bring your politics with you? But I didn't. It was like, it caught me right up, and I thought, oh, that's good, Bob, you didn't blurt that out. So that I can see
something improvement.
But anyway, so I'm like, when is he gonna? Doesn't he see these green windows? Like, what am I supposed to do? Take a ladder out there and put my chubby body up on a ladder? And so I kind of was a little melting down about it, and then it's like, to look at everything, you know, like it's for all our sanctifications, mine and his. But my big thing was fear of man. Yeah. I thought, the neighbors are going to complain, we're going to get a notice from the HOA. And then it was like, so? It's not all about me, it could be about him. And so the windows did get clean, the screens got clean, and we don't have any more green. But we had a nice talk about it, so it was all good. But if we're supposed to get an HOA notice, so be it.
You can come to my house next.
Huh?
Yeah. You can come to my house next.
Are your windows clean? But I mean, if God is, you know, if I believe that God is sovereign,
that's true.
You know, everything. There's nothing wasted. There's no runaway molecules.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes. We heard that in Sunday school class.
It's the same thing about the quiet and gentle spirit, which I've really been praying about and working on and trying to. But I notice if I get in a situation where someone's coming, you know, to me and being loud and screaming, whatever, whether it be my sister or whoever, that's where I'm struggling, you know, and I'm like, okay. I pray before I go when I know I'm having a certain conversation or whatever, and that I keep my tone down and I have that gentle spirit. And so that's been a huge thing for me that I even had to deal with this week.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Nice. And that's awesome. Such a witness to that.
It is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even if
it's not easy. And I still fail. Sometimes I start to, I'm like, no.
God wants you to know it's him that's doing it, though.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Yep.
It was all for his glory.
What's yes. that?
It's all for his glory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
I love that.
So, first part, you know,
are good.
And
for
yes.
our
good.
Yeah.
And his glory.
And I think we're all seeing how our hearts are being changed as we're looking at the Word, as we're letting it change us. And so I think that next question, everybody that we've heard from so far has had heart change because of the Scriptures, because of your circumstances, seeing how the Lord is working in your lives. So, how is that going to affect how we do ministry? Your doctrine, your character change, your heart change, how is that going to work out in ministry for you?
Where are we on this? Is
four.
I get confused about it. Okay.
Yeah, four.
Yeah, we kind of talk.
There is
questions
yeah.
that we should ask.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me ask. It's in the book number four and on our sheet number four, okay? Mm-hmm. So, let me ask this. Make a list of the ways in which you are serving the Lord or you would like to serve the Lord. Since we're having a hard time answering the ministry question number four on our sheet.
Well, this one's the one on the sheet says about asking a younger woman this question.
Right.
I put, do you believe God is sovereign in all things? And then both of them.
Let me see.
The inside one?
Inside and outside.
The inside one I put provide meals, hospitality, and I have my little card classes for the kids.
And pool days.
What's that?
Pool days.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah.
But not really, because we've just been cold, so.
Yeah, but during the summer you do.
Should we go around and ask everybody?
You know, it's interesting. The questions that I put down
number 4 on four page 16.
And yeah, four, four and four. Okay.
Well, we are saying
tied together.
Tied together.
Yeah.
Yes.
So ministry. Oh,
I know. Okay, well, let's just go one at a time. Who wants to go?
I go.
Okay.
Me. Me. It's about me.
Showing her quiet and gentle spirit.
That's right. It's interesting, I wrote these two questions, but it had to do with me. I'm learning it now. It says, are you able to focus on some main biblical doctrine until you are comfortable knowing them? And then the next question I wrote down is, are you willing to become more mature in reading and studying God's word? So those are the two questions I would ask, but then I just realized before I just read them that, wait a second, those are the same things that I would ask myself.
Yeah.
Well, since I have to ask myself that. Do I believe God is sovereign in all things?
Yeah.
And make a list of the word, reading his word, praying for others, church meal ministry. I love cooking, you know, for others of needs in our church. And walking and living according to God's word.
Yeah. I love that Darren Roberts sermon that we had in the outline he gave us. Preach to yourself. Mm-hmm. And what do you preach to yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them. God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm. Barb?
I was going to say, you know, in like your case, how the Lord brought someone into you, we don't have to be searching. He will bring people to us when we're open. So when we're looking for ministries, it will come to us, you know, in time. And I'm in a kind of an unusual time in my life right now. I've become a minimalist, not by choice. You know, it's just different. But one of the things that I've done, because it doesn't happen very often anymore, I do like a card ministry to people that I know are struggling, and I write them little notes and send it in the mail, not an email and not on Facebook, because it's just really exciting to get real mail.
People love happy mail.
Yeah. And last year I had two friends that both lost their husbands this past year, and they were good friends of ours. And I have consistently, through all my problems too, have mailed them a card about every 6 weeks. In fact, this summer when we were going to be away for the summer, I went to the dollar store, bought a bunch of cards, and had them, you know, counted them all out, and had them ready so that whenever the time came, I could do that. So that's something simple that everybody can do. Go to Dollar Tree. It's only 50 cents, you know, and not postage.
Cut
but it's going
to cut
be
cut the Bobby's.
I say Bobby. Bobby's like, oh my word.
Well, that's true.
I'll give you some.
Yeah, but that and this is an area that I've really been struggling with too, and trying to get organized on. And I'm if someone has a good system on this, please help me. But prayer ministry, because I get the prayers from these, I get the prayers from Thursday night, and all the other ones. And I can't keep track of them all, and then I forget about them, and then I feel guilty, and like, oh my word.
Ask the Lord to bring some to mind. You don't have to do that.
Well, I know that. But it's like, I want to come up with a notebook and keep them in there.
Prayer journal.
Prayer journal.
Yeah.
I'm very good at my prayer journal.
Okay, so a couple of ideas. You can divide the names on your list alphabetically and do A through E on Monday and something like that. Or you can, in your prayer journal, have different sections, church friends, other family members, that kind of thing. I mean, I've done both ways, and they're both effective.
Yeah,
it's just keeping it up.
My prayer journal is divided, number one, praise. I start out with praise. And of course, they have all these other things that they come up with. I do it, but this is what works for me. And then I put sick. And then I pray for, I have names of people who are sick and whatever. And I don't need to pray for them again the following day.
Right.
You know, every so often I'll glance at what I should be praying for. Then I pray for those who need salvation. And there's always the same ones, unfortunately. And then I have a section where, at your feet. That's how I put it, at your feet. So that would mean something, you know, if I have, let's say, friends coming over. And I'll put their, you know, friends coming over for lunch, so I will be praying for that. So general things, and then I have personal. Mm-hmm. Then that stuff that I, you know, that I pray about myself.
Is it like in a spiral notebook?
No, it's just a regular kind of a notebook that I have.
Binder kind
of. You know, a regular binder type of thing. And you know what, Barbara? You know what's amazing about this journal that I have done, and I have for many years, is that I sometimes glance back at the journal,
And I'll say, let's say, for instance, I was praying for you, Diana, about, I don't know, maybe a child, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll go back and I'll go, oh, I've been praying for Diana. And I'll go and I'll send you a text. And it's amazing how they feel like she remembers, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels so good when you contact mm-hmm. them or you call mm-hmm. them and say, hey, how's your brother coming along? And that was like last year that I was probably praying for her brother, yeah. you know. Hopefully he didn't pass. But anyway, you know, how's your yeah. brother? Or yeah. That kind of stuff. And they're amazed. They just absolutely love it that you okay. acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. I have another yeah. way. Take the letters of the week. So Monday is ministry and missionaries mm-hmm. or mission. Tuesday is tasks. Wednesday is your witness. Thursday, Thanksgiving. Friday, friends and family. Saturday, sinners. Sunday,
saints. That would be
everybody.
That would be
all of us.
Yeah. I love
that.
It's very yeah. close to what we learned in the EWIC classes, too. Yeah. It was laid out by days of the week.
And yeah. it's important to also record all the answers when yes. you know them. Because yes. that is so, when you
I
go back and you
again.
Can see
I do that.
That.
In a different
yeah.
color.
It's just not systematic.
If someone who's passed away, yeah. I put the date you know, and whatever yeah. little I do.
Is, because I don't know about you ladies, but I'm up like every couple hours sometimes in the night to have a little note next to you, you know, next to your bed or whatever, if you do get up, or even like in the bathroom in one of the drawers. And just to be reminded of who you pray in the night.
Yeah.
Satan doesn't like you to pray in the night, so chances are you'll get a little prayer done and you'll go right back to sleep.
But you know, a lot of it, you get overwhelmed because people are asking you constantly to pray, 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 and it gets to be extremely overwhelming. So I'm teaching myself to, you know what I'm going to do? This is a prayer that I know I probably won't, I don't need to put it in my journal because that's the like the serious kind of one. I'm teaching myself to pray in the moment.
Right there.
Yes. Pray yes. right there. And I let that person know, praying now.
Yep.
And then I don't feel guilty that I haven't prayed for that person right. because I just...
Well, that's yeah. that's where the church
I like
app
to be funny,
great,
but you know,
too.
Kind of get out
yes.
of the way.
Yeah.
Kind of
prayer. The prayer requests yeah. come out on the church and app, and that's where
right
you can
then.
Get them and immediately
pray, right
you know,
yes.
pray. But I was going to say, too, I think it was John MacArthur maybe in his Daily Bible had... what Edie was saying, you know, Monday, pray for yourself, spiritual struggles. Tuesday, salvation of others. Wednesday, your family. Thursday, mm-hmm. church, family, and leaders. Friday, your country. Sunday, pray for your leaders. Or Saturday, and then Sunday, pray scripture. Mm-hmm. And so if you do, Bev was the one who helped me with that. A little three-ring binder, days of the week, you know. And it just kind of keeps you structured. Because mm-hmm. otherwise you're... And there's also some apps, like I have the Psalms, the five Psalms, because that was, Donald Whitney had a thing about, if you can't think of anything else to pray, pray scripture. Mm-hmm. And as you're praying scripture, he'll bring the people yeah. to mind that, you know, it's relevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, the imprecatory ones are a little tough, although, like what I learned with that one, where David's saying, you know, kill my enemy, I say, kill my sin. Mm-hmm. So that's how
really,
I use that
really
one.
Good with the scripture and acknowledging people. It's Lucy. Lucy does it for her sons mm-hmm. and her husband a lot for her sons. And every day, practically, she sends me scripture and then input for Stefan. You yeah. know, for Eric, you know, whatever. And I think that shit's really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when I look at the scripture, going. Oh,
yeah.
So you know that God has placed that scripture in because right. mm-hmm. it really has to do with that son, you
yeah.
know,
or your
I know
son, or your family
yeah.
member,
yeah.
or that's how I look through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And what I do is I pray for her son according to that scripture, mm-hmm. and whatever else she adds mm-hmm. to it, you know, mm-hmm. on the spot.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Just a little side note, because I still want to go around and find out ministry stuff. When we are asking questions, it's good to ask a question that starts with a who or a why or a what. Why is on the bottom. Okay, ask who, what, when, how. And then the last thing is why. Sometimes why can be sounding, not accusatory, but confrontational. Mm-hmm. So if Myrna, read one of those questions that you had, and let me see if I could rephrase it to...
It did not start with a who, why, what. Are you able to focus on some main biblical doctrine until you are comfortable knowing them?
Okay. How have you been doing trying to focus in on a biblical doctrine? That is another way that you could ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Without, because they could say yes or no, and that's the end of it.
Right.
You want to kind of elucidate some kind of a response. So that's just an aside.
That's good.
Okay. Other people with ministry. What kinds of things are you doing for ministry?
Nurseries.
Okay.
Cleaning the rooms, right?
I found it interesting she was talking about the fact that even things that she wouldn't say she was strong at or she wouldn't necessarily go to that ministry, she would go ahead and do it. I think she mentioned taking food and some other things. And I just remembered, I don't remember where the phrase came from, but the need is not the call. And so it kind of made me, like, how do you balance that? Because, yes, in one sense, the need is not the call. If a church needs a pastor, that's not a call for you to be pastor. You know, that's awfully obvious. But when there's a need in the church for someone to serve in the nursery or with the kids program, do you just sit back and say, oh, no, I don't feel called? You know, how to balance that, or to lead a younger woman, someone that's just come to the church, how to balance that. And I didn't really come up with an answer. I just came up with a question.
I think God leads you to the areas where your strengths are, and he sort of guides you out of the areas where they may not be. Yeah. Because one of the things I've been told was, don't always volunteer for everything, give other people an opportunity also.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because that might be their area of strength. Like for Myrna to say, hey, she loves to cook. Mm-hmm. For me, it would be bringing them takeout. So she's going to bless them a little bit more than I would. So it's kind of like...
Takeout's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Bless them?
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, God knows everybody's equipped differently. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like we all fit in the body in different ways, you know.
And I think the coolest thing is that when you are part of a ministry, whether it be church or something that you're doing on your own time, you know, like my prayer blankets and things like that, and Bobby with her cards, and I'm slowly getting there with cards. you do it with joy.
Exactly.
I find so much joy. I mean, when I'm cooking, I'm putting, you know, good Christian music, and I'm just, as I'm cooking, and as I'm just enjoying the music, and...
But that's
you know,
I guess,
praying
the point
for the person that, you know...
Is that God guides you to the things that you are joyful in serving. You don't want to serve, you know, begrudgingly, so to speak. Yeah. So.
And I don't know where this saying came from either, but something about a rock that's moving is more easily led, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like if the rock is just, like, planted and, you know, it's like sometimes it needs a little push.
Yeah,
and I had the thing where let me dabble in these ministries to see if that's where God wants me.
Yeah,
and it has to be the Holy Spirit, otherwise it's wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah. Right,
and you know I'm doing this, and I have a big fear of man, so that you know like if you get asked, I would tend to say yes to everything because I don't want to upset anyone, or I don't want to think I'm not spiritual or any of those things, and there's a balance. I mean that's what you know they talk about the tension there, where you know. I think your gifts, you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. You do enjoy doing them. And your strong points, that's why the Lord's made you the way you are. So, I mean, after coming out of a lot of other churches, I mean, there were churches I was in that they had people that weren't even saved answering the call because they were, you know, we need people in the nursery, we need... So all these, you know, oh, yeah, great, reel them in. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's God ordained, it's going to happen. I mean, the Lord's going to put it, like you said... If you're saying yes, you shouldn't be. There are people who maybe should be. So you have to do everything in prayer.
Yeah, I think her point is that if you are saved, you will serve, because that's how you show your fruit.
Yes. But it's not always serving in the church. I mean, I think we have to understand that there's a ministry outside the church. There's serving your neighbors. There's serving, you know, the unsaved. Mm-hmm. There's people serve, and they don't even realize they're serving.
Right.
You know?
You're serving Jesus
that's
Christ.
That's your ministry, and you don't even know it.
I mean, where it could happen. Mm-hmm. Again, been in churches where this has happened, where everything you're doing is for everybody in the church. And
nothing outside.
I mean, I have a neighbor who just lost her husband in September, and, you know, I mean, I go with him a lot of times, but he's over there fixing things for her, and if I have anything left over or whatever, I'll say to her, I'm making this, do you want some of this tonight? Sure, I'll have to cook, that's great. You know, just, that's all serving too. Yeah.
I mean, not everybody, I think what's key in all our discussion, as I've been praying here, our number one really is spiritual gifts.
Right.
What is your spiritual gift before the Lord?
Yeah.
How are you ministering that into your church family? That really is your, I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
You have to have that balance and priorities. But it has to be here, because I've known folks, it's all out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And there is nothing in here.
Yeah.
And I looked on the, the application, anyone that's become a member here, bless their pea-picking hearts. And what areas of ministry do you most desire to serve?
Pea-picking.
They're not saying, pea-picking, they are not saying, where are you going to serve?
Yeah.
So that leaves it up to, where do you desire? What is your spiritual gift?
Yeah.
It gets your juices flowing.
Yeah.
Because we do have tremendous needs. Children's ministry has a tremendous need. We got 43 to 5-year-olds in there.
Yeah.
Diana can attest.
Yeah.
It's not that effective. It's like herding cats.
Yes.
But are we being a ministry to the children by allowing that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I'm woo, ministry type stuff. Children's ministry, youth ministry, teens, well, you can at least pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Events, Kristen, bless her heart. She's the head woman of coordinating, right? She needs help in those events. Administration, sound, website, graphics, vocals, groundskeeping, small repairs, etc. Something, you know, I can't do children, okay? Well, what's your spirit gift? Well, I think it's serving. Be a greeter. Low-hanging fruit. That is the easiest thing ever.
Yes.
Be a greeter. Pass a bulletin and smile. That's all you got to do. There's a need for greeters. So I think what we need to do is really pray, Lord, where do you want me to serve in my church? What is my spiritual gift? And as Bobby said, dabble. Because there's going to be some, nope, that's not it. That's not it.
I just got to say this. I did junior church in the church for years. And I wanted to know, like, when my commitment was kind of off.
That's
to do something else. And they just looked at me like deadpan. I'm like, you mean, like, I'm doing it
like
forever?
Exactly.
And they didn't say anything. I'm like, yeah, they figured. And I don't think the Holy Spirit necessarily works like that.
Right. And what our church tries to do, especially in children's ministry, 1-year commitment.
Yeah.
We've
got
a
1-year
commitment. But if you want to keep going, been doing nursery for years.
I
went, I want to teach 3-year-olds. Get them out of there. Give me a room.
Mm.
Lord, by your grace, I want to teach those little cuties. I really do. And that's a God thing for me and a spiritual gift.
Wow.
So that 4s and 5s can be more effectively taught,
yeah,
and the 3-year-olds can be more effectively taught.
I did hear this at one church, which made sense to me also. It was, you went there, we were new. And this is what they said, but you can read this 2 ways. No, we would like to minister to you for 1 year.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that's something different. I haven't heard that. But basically, it was, we don't know you. We want to see you.
Yeah.
You know,
true. That's true.
Yeah,
whether if you're brand new.
Yeah, I mean,
but I just have a real need. I just want to woo, because we do. We especially in children's ministry. I mean,
back to the husband first. If you have husbands to be doing all these other ministries and you got a lack at home of certain things, that's where it starts first. Because honestly, when I read what she said about being a missionary, I could have written that. I mean, here Jack was a new believer, and I'm like, let's sell everything. You know, we even went and visited missionaries and stayed. I mean, what a mistake that would have been.
No, and you're right, Bobby. And that's what we need to teach our younger gals, because there's some young gals that are in the church, and the little ones are, woo, over here.
But it is, it's doing your priorities, which I, you know, you totally have, you know. Tim Challies has a book, Do More Better. Mm-hmm. And it talks about your priorities mm-hmm. with the Lord, with your home, with your church, with your neighborhood. He has it right in there. Mm-hmm. But it is, it's making sure our priorities are right. Just as we, you know, rounding up with doctrine, character, it's having that with God first. And then it's your home.
Yeah.
And then it's your church. We then it's the world.
Yeah, we tend to make, sometimes I do anyway, make things like, I saw this in other churches too. It's like, if a guy was coming along and he was spiritual, it's like, oh, he has to be a pastor. Let everybody go to this particular seminary, and all these guys will go, you know, and maybe they just need to be godly husbands mm-hmm. and godly fathers first.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just...
Well, that goes for us too.
Yes, no, yes. But yeah. I mean, so that's what I'm saying, is that to do these things first, there's nothing wasted, and I tend to think this is more important, or this is a more noble cause, whatever, and all of it is. Let's just tell Debbie in the beginning, we're all a part of the body when we're believers, and the toe is unseen. Some of them are unsightly, you know, some body parts, you know, whatever. But they're all a part of the body, and if that toe is, you know, not growing or mangled or whatever, you know, you kind of tend to walk differently. So every single part of the body is important,
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't minimize or, you know, think, well, this person, we don't know what they are. You know, maybe they're, you know, a knee or something. They're not going to be, you know, prominent
sensible, yeah.
body part. And
knees are pretty important.
But, yeah,
well, finding that out.
I mean, the scripture talks about certain parts are covered
yeah,
for a
right.
reason, and
yeah.
you know. So they're behind the scenes. They're doing important things behind the scenes, and we don't see it certainly. So we shouldn't, you know, make other parts real. Like, oh, if we all aspire to be that part, and mm-hmm. it's not
yeah.
going to
happen. Yeah,
there's not a hierarchy of
it's not going to happen.
Or
right.
yeah. Well, what is it? There's a verse I won't know where, but about desiring the better gifts.
Yes,
and yeah. it's like, no, you serve where God. Yeah. Designed you to serve.
It also says there's great responsibility with those ones that are.
yeah. That's yeah. right. The yes. teacher has greater responsibility, greater judgment mm-hmm. from the Lord.